Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey everyone, hey, I'm Seth, I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday weekend. And we get to celebrate this, and sometimes we forget the cost that went into this weekend. And we've been talking about breakthrough kind of coming up, but nobody can say anything about breakthrough without looking at the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and seeing the impact, the breakthrough that has happened as a result of his sacrifice. And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't get to see the greatest moments of breakthrough. And perhaps that's where you feel you're at right now. But I want you to look harder, because in the life of Martin Luther King Jr., he got to see people white, black, all other colors, united and mobilized for a cause that he wouldn't get to see come to full fruition. In fact, that cause and that breakthrough is still coming to fruition today. And I don't know where you're at in your various breakthroughs of your life. Perhaps, you know, civil rights is not the greatest thing, not the biggest thing that's affecting you right now, but whatever it is, God cares about it. Whatever it is, breakthrough is possible. Can you say that with me so that we can get to start believing it? Breakthrough is possible. Whatever it is that's stuck in your life can move. If you go to the God of the universe and say, I need your help with this one thing. Maybe it's not just one thing, but I need your help with these things so that we can move forward from here. And we're going to be talking about breakthrough, as Pastor Ron said, coming up in just a little bit. But Dr. Kayla Prey is going to be speaking here in a minute. And she's going to kind of pave the road, lay the foundation work for this challenge, is what I've been calling it, Ron, that's coming up called Breakthrough. We're going to be calling you to decide, hey, I don't want to sit here anymore expecting, you know, things to continue to be the same. I don't want to be complacent anymore or apathetic. For some of you, when I said, hey, maybe there's one thing in your life that you need a breakthrough and you couldn't think of anything because you've gotten so comfortable with how things are that you don't even desire more from God. And so my prayer of a breakthrough for you is that he cuts through the apathy and complacency in your life, and he creates a new hunger for spiritual things. But for some of us, we don't have to think too hard before knowing exactly what we're going to ask God for a breakthrough in. Because there are hurting marriages, there are addictions, there are children that are far from God, there are grown men, women who are far from God and in need of God to break through their mess and bring his delivering peace and his hope. There are people who are suffering from hopelessness and shame. There are people who are suffering from they need physical healing. There are those who are suffering from religious foolishness. God will bring a breakthrough. I'm going to read this breakthrough key verse, and then I'm going to intro Kayla. This is Pastor Seth's way of getting just a little sermon preaching in when I'm not actually supposed to be preaching, but I want to make sure you come back next week and the weeks following, and I want you to invite. We put those little printed cards so you could invite somebody who also could use a breakthrough. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You may have butted up against this stronghold many times in your life, and you've used everything that you can think of. You've done all the 3-step patterns to try and maybe even 12-step patterns to try and break through. Now we're gonna try something new. We're gonna keep praying until God moves. And there's a saying, pray until something happens, push. And we're gonna do that over the next 5 weeks. So Lord, we dedicate this teaching to you. As Kayla lays the foundation, Father, I pray that you would put a seed in the hearts of those who are complacent and need this, and put a complete helping, a complete dose of your peace and hope in those lives who've been crying out to you and feeling like nothing will change. And so we dedicate what we believe is gonna be a monstrous praise of breakthroughs coming up. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm gonna introduce to you, I gotta straighten this because when the grain's crooked, it bothers me, and I know it'll bother you too. Yeah, we probably should talk about it. So this is a good transition because Dr. Kayla Pray is a pastoral counselor. We'll talk about this in a private session. Is it straight? I don't know if it's, anyway. Dr. Kayla Pray is a pastoral counselor. She has, if there is some psychological issue, she has a certificate of some sort of training in it. And we are grateful to have her in partnership with Coastal Community Church. In fact, most recently in November, we actually, as an advisory team, created and entered into a legal and professional partnership with Kayla's counseling ministry. So she now she now operates out of our resource library room right across the way here, and she's helped my family. She's helped some of you as well, and part of that partnership, she's creating an opportunity for you to get help and have someone to talk to with a nicely lower bill than others just for coming to Coastal. So, and she's also a wonderful teacher, and we can't wait to, I've already heard it. I'm sorry. It's good, folks. Service one was awesome, and you're going to have to do even better than that.
All right, I'm going to steal your mic, though.
You want my mic? All right, go for it.
I'm just going to use this one. So, you know, I have a toddler, and, you know, she feels the music in first service, and so sometimes she wants to be snuggled. And then sometimes you guys see her dancing around in circles and wondering, when is she going to drop? And I think in between that, even though the production team and I, we hooked up the lapel mic, it sounded good, it was good, toddler snuggles have made it not good. And so for the sake of everyone's ears, those listening at home, future recording, we'll just do this. This works. This is fine. So yes, I am professionally Dr. Kayla Pray, but here at Coastal, I am Kayla. And it has been a privilege and an honor to be at Coastal for over 2 years now. My husband and I were transplants from Arizona during that, you know, the plague times when nobody liked the four walls they were living in or the region or the family nearby or any of those things. And the world reshuffled to meet needs. And we found Florida. And then shortly after, God led us to Coastal. And we were looking for a church where we could worship Jesus, be with Jesus, do life with a church that was more than just on Sunday morning. And it was more than within the pomp and circumstance of what's appropriate. And it was more than just, we do church here and I live over here. It was a blending. And so if you see me around, you want to have a conversation, that's fine. Like, no appointment necessary. I know he set up a whole thing of like, I have an office but we are just one church. Come find me. I like coffee. So if you walk up to me with this in hand, you have my attention. So we're going to start today. I want to start by reading Psalms to you. Psalms 27. We're going to read the whole thing. I know some of you just panicked. Like, she didn't give a verse. We're going to read the whole thing. It's not that long. We'll be okay. So we're going to read it together. I'm going to read it. It should be up on the screen for you. Just listen in, and I want you to put yourself there. This is from David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be content. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Anyone relating to David in that a little bit? False accusations, those who seek you harm, feeling confused, feelings of life is a little unstable. People are coming at you from all sides. What's interesting about this psalm and the psalms on either side of it, 26 and 28, is this was written by a David who was not high up in his palace on the balcony with his lyre, that lovely little picture, where everything is good, praising the Lord. This is not a, if these things happen, I will praise. It's believed that these psalms were written when David was either fleeing from King Saul or fleeing from his son Absalom years later, who sought to kill him. Both times, David is fleeing what was supposed to be his through no wrong of his own, through no external faults or sin. David is fleeing for his life with nothing but his life. There is a loss of title, of money, of a home, of family, reputation, expectation, and there is no hope of getting back to that. See, because we have the benefit of reading David, the 2020. We know how the story ends. We know that David is in the line of Jesus and that his legacy and his anointing is forever institutionalized. We know who David is because we know who Jesus is. A man after God's own heart. That's not how David sees himself in this psalm. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that's how the story ends. And so as he flees from Saul, as he flees from his son Absalom, what you'll notice is absent in that psalm. There's no accusations to God. Why'd you let this happen? What's going on? There's no cries to be justified. He asked in Psalm 20, 26 to vindicate me, O Lord. But he's more focused on who is the Lord. He is praising God in the midst of lost everything with no hope of getting it back. We're going to camp for a minute on Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Maybe you are kinder than me, but if I have been wronged, offended, all these people coming up against me. This is David's family. Saul is a father figure. Absalom is his own son. If I am wronged in these ways, I have more than one thing I'm asking for. I have questions. I have requests. I have ideas. I have thoughts on how justice could play out. I have ideas on what could be vindicating. One thing I ask from the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Both times, David has lost a palace, a kingdom, money, titles. If he's fleeing from Saul in this one, this is Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. Shortly after this psalm is written, David is going to appear before the Philistine king whom he has killed the 10,000s of and pretend to be insane so that they don't kill him. He will drool in front of them. He will soil himself. He will throw himself on the ground and roll around so that they believe that David, who was the mighty warrior, is insane and they will not kill him. This is a complete loss of dignity, of pride. There is no shame. There is no kingdom, physically or emotionally or mentally, but spiritually. He is in the halls of heaven. Looking at Psalm 26, and I encourage you, go home, read these three psalms. They're not long. I'm not saying go study for an hour. They're short. Read them at lunch. Psalm 26, verse 8. I wash my hands in innocence, and I go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise, telling all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. If I am in the midst of being wronged, I don't know if, honestly, if I'm concerned with going and telling everyone the great things of God. I don't know if I've concerned myself with the altars of the Lord. I think I'm a little more concerned with what's happening on this eternal, right here, this external plane, not the eternal plane. I'm focused here. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and my song, I praise him. David is in the midst of having lost everything. Everything. And all he wants to do is praise. He wants to praise the Lord. And he seeks going about it, making sure that everyone else knows that he is praising the Lord. I love the verse in there, the father and mother forsake me. This was David's family. These weren't far off strangers coming to harm David. This was within his inner circle. Betrayed. And it's real easy when we are betrayed in such a way to think that all relationships have betrayed me. But yet there's such confidence stepping into the presence of the Lord. Though father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. How do we have that confidence? How do we praise in all things? How do we have that confidence of David where he's lost everything? And he will lose everything. Again, if this is him fleeing from Saul, we know the rest of the story. There are multiple periods of running for his life. There are multiple times when everything is taken. There are multiple times of no pride, no glory, and no hope of being restored. And David is confident in the Lord. So what does it mean to praise? This is one of those churchy words, right, that we like to use, and it kind of like has lost all meaning. Praise, praise be to God, thanksgiving, gratitude, gratefulness. We've kind of lost. What does it mean? Because we only ever use it within this format. This is where that word praise happens, unless we're in a small group somewhere. And we have these weird churchy words. And you'll know it if you hang out with some non-church friends and you say something and they give you that look. Washed in the blood? Are you okay? Do you know you have a choice to not go to that place, right? Do I need to call someone? We've lost some of the depth of these words. And so we're going to dive into it. What does it mean to praise? Praise, by its just natural definition, is a favorable judgment of something. So I've mentioned, I like coffee. I have gathered the evidence. I have decided coffee is to be praised. Coffee is deserving of my praise for all the wonderful benefits that coffee gives me, for all the things it got me through. College, late nights, work shifts, a toddler, coffee is to be praised. It is a judgment I have made on it. And I share that judgment with other people. I am praising its benefits. I had a friend in college one time. We had a very late night, and then I needed her to leave my apartment early in the morning. I had class, she had to go somewhere, and she was less enthusiastic about getting up and on time. And so the only coffee I had in the apartment was decaf. So I just didn't say anything. Because it smells the same. OK? Okay, smells the same, tastes the same. Those of you who say you can taste the caffeine, no, you don't. That's just your brain screaming for its fix. We call that addiction. But you cannot taste caffeine. So it tastes the same. So I got her coffee, sent her on her way, got to class, saw her later that afternoon with the giant Starbucks cup, the biggest one you can get. She goes, I don't know why I'm so tired today. I can't wake up. And so I came clean. I gave you false coffee this morning because I needed you out of my apartment. And as she said, she's like, you were shaking my faith in coffee. Why? Because she knows what it feels like when coffee shows up. Part of the favorable judgment of praise, the gathering of evidence, is I know what it looks like when this comes. I know what coffee's supposed to do to my brain. I know what coffee's supposed to do to my heart. It makes me so happy. It gives me that moment to breathe. I love my toddler so much more after that first sip of coffee. Like, I loved her before. And then I take that sip of coffee and it's like, ah, God is here. I can do this. And so you shake my faith in coffee because she had what she thought was coffee and it wasn't doing what it had promised. The favorable judgment was waning. There wasn't the feelings. A lot of times when we enter situations like what David enters into, we start to wonder, where's God? Because in my favorable judgment, God is good. And this doesn't feel good. And in my favorable judgment, God does this, but yet I'm doing this. And so praise is something we've decided to do, and we continue. It's a continuous thing. Because I've just told you today I like coffee. So if you show up tomorrow with a cup of coffee and I go, oh no, I've decided I don't like that today. Today coffee is not worthy of my praise. You'd be very confused. Because I decided, I passed judgment on coffee. Coffee is good. When we praise God, we have passed a judgment on whether or not God is good, and it is continuous. Praise is also not thanksgiving. At no point in the Psalms do we see David going, thank you, Lord, for this trial. We do not see him praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for this moment of surrender and fear and hurt. We don't see that. That's different from praise. Praise is that confidence of the Lord will, the Lord is, and knowing that without a shadow of a doubt. David had that. And as we look at how do we have that praise, now that we've defined it, and some of you are like, okay, that makes sense. But you're saying, I can't. I don't know how. I don't know how, because where I'm at right now, maybe you don't have enough evidence that God is good. You don't know how to pass favorable judgment in order to maintain a continuous thinking of praise. And so we're going to leave David for a moment. We're going to jump to the other side of the covenant. We're going to go to Jesus in Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so we've left David. Now remember, David is Old Testament. David is living in a hope of eventually there will be a Messiah. And so he is looking forward to, has the confidence that God is providing a way, but there is not yet that way. We are living on the other side of that. The way has come. The way, the truth, the life has happened, and we know him as the person of Jesus. And he's saying, take my yoke upon you. He's giving you that evidence for favorable judgment that this is good. But if you're like me, and you've grown up non-agricultural, you go, what's a yoke? What does it even look like? Because, you know, again, this is our very Christianese. Where else do we tell anyone, oh, take my yoke upon you? That's not modern day Western American language. If someone says that, you're going to think you're referring to your egg yolk at breakfast. Not yolk. And so I'll go ahead and put a picture of the yoke up there. That's a yoke. It is a wooden harness contraption that links together two large cow-like animals who are very strong. Oxen all over the world. Again, I wouldn't know what an ox was. I wouldn't be able to point it and go, that's an ox, that's a cow, that's a... I know what a giraffe is, okay? I can find that one. And so this is a yoke. And sometimes when you watch the training of two oxen, two cows, learning to pull these heavy burdens and wear the yoke, you have one oxen who has the yoke on so tight, it almost just seems kind of part of him. It doesn't really move because his whole job is to pull the entirety of the burden, full burden, because he's older, wiser, stronger. And then next to him, you're going to have a young, inexperienced ox. And it just looks like a necklace, barely touching his neck on him. The reason being, he's not supposed to feel the burden. Because if he feels the burden, he's going to freak out. He's going to kick. He's going to run. He's going to try to do everything to get away from the burden because he's not experienced at pulling burdens. So the strong one pulls the burden. And the young one, his whole job right now is to learn to be with and in step of the stronger, wiser ox. His place is with the strong ox. Because if he pulls ahead or pulls to the side, he will feel the burden. He will suddenly be aware of the weight of what is behind him. If he stays in step with the other ox, he will never feel the burden, and he will just learn from being with the wiser, more experienced. When I read that idea of a yoke in Matthew the first couple times, I always had the image of Jesus as the farmer, as the one who puts the yoke upon me, and his yoke is easy. And that's better than the world's yoke. So I was training a bad farmer for a kind farmer. Jesus is not the farmer. Jesus is the strong oak holding the burdens. He is the wise, more experienced one, and we are learning to walk with him. Look with me in Mark 3. Mark 3, 13 through 14. Jesus went up on a mountainside and he called to him those who he wanted and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. See, I was just at a pastor's conference and this is like, you know, one of our favorite verses, right? Of like, calling for a vocational ministry. You are appointed, you are called. So are all Christians, by the way. We are called to be with Jesus. We are called to do life with him. And we love to jump to that last part of the, that he might send them out. And we miss that little word in there, with. That he may do life with them. Our whole job is to be with the stronger, more experienced oxen. To not feel the burden. David, as he is fleeing for his life, is not feeling the burden of that. Because he knows he is the Lord's anointed. And that anointing has not been taken from him. And so wherever he goes, God is there. Whether that's in a palace or in a cave. And so he can say with confidence, the only thing I ask is to see your face. The only thing I want is to dwell with you. Because that is my whole job, is to be with you. We are all called to different things. Motherhood, fatherhood, jobs within the church, jobs outside of the church, friends, family, crazy people. We are all called to different things, but that is not the goal. The goal is to walk with Jesus, let him pull the burdens, and then we get to praise in the midst of the chaos. We get to praise in the middle of all the insanity because the calling has not changed. The with has not changed. And so if you're someone who's, I just don't even know how to praise. There's no praise in the life I'm having right now. I don't know how to do this. And you want to get closer to God. You start with praise. You start with that confidence David had in the Lord of wherever I am, whatever is going on, I know where I'm called to be. I know who I am with. I know what the end goal is. Whether that's in a palace with everyone peaceful, my reputation is shredded and people want to kill me. I know who I am with. And he praises. So start there if you're looking to see these breakthroughs, because praise is the foundation of breakthrough. Praise is not asking God to do something. Praise is not a prayer. It's not an expectation. It is a confidence and a favorable judgment, and I know who God is, and God is good. And just because this has changed, this has not changed. So whatever God is, was, and will be is not affected by who I am, was, and will be. And if I walk with, I have the confidence in that consistent when the chaos around here happens. So start with praise. If you're still saying, I have no idea, I can't even breathe with the situation I have right now at home, I can't praise, then we need to ask, are you being with Jesus or are you trying to rush ahead? Are you pulling ahead of the burden? Are you drifting off to the side and then you feel it? The weight of it chokes you. Because you're not supposed to feel the burden. Life is hard. It will be hard. But if David can stand in the midst of losing everything, saying, one thing I ask, this only do I seek, it's because he wasn't pulling ahead. He wasn't worried that his anointing had been tarnished because of what had happened to him here. And so ask yourself, are you pulling ahead? What are you trying to do for God? Let's be honest. Where are you trying to help? Because I would have some ideas if I was in David's suggestion. Lord, you know, I have some notes. I have some thoughts on what could happen here. Where are you pulling ahead? And if you're still feeling the burden, if you still feel like, it's choking me. Whose yoke are you wearing? Because sometimes as Christians, we end up in a place where we're doing what we think we're supposed to be doing. So we come from a church where everything was appropriate or inappropriate, more legalistic, more rigid. And so I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to do, but I still feel it and it's choking me out. That's not Jesus's yoke. And if you're on the other side, you're like, I don't even know. I've never taken Jesus's yoke on. I don't know. I don't understand. You're wearing the world's. And those burdens are hard and heavy because you have to pull them completely by yourself with all the obstacles in the path. And so if you want to get closer to God, you start with praise. If you can't praise, are you walking out of step? Focus on being with Jesus. And if you still can't feel, whose yoke are you wearing? Switch it out. So I just want to talk over you for a minute. Just want you to escape into your own mind. You can just have your own altar here, conversations with Jesus. And ask him honestly to reveal to you, whose yoke are you wearing? Where are you out of step and pulling ahead? Where do you feel the obligation of burden? And in that obligation, how has it prevented you from praising, from shouting out your favorable judgment of a God who is and was and always will be? Let him just speak to you in that moment. The good news is, like the song said earlier, there's no reason to wait. There's no time shelf on this. If you haven't been praising, start. All it takes is a start. It's an acknowledgement that God is good forever and always and eternal, and he wants good for us. If you haven't been with Jesus because you thought you were supposed to be doing all the other things, you get to stop. Last week, be still and know that I am God. Be with. And if you still aren't sure, examine whose yoke am I wearing? Let me just pray over us. Joy, thank you so much for who you are, for the fact that you are worthy of all praise, of our continuous favorable judgment, that you have given us mountains of evidence to point to who you are, how you love us, who you view us to be, and that you've called us in to do life with you. I pray for courage and vulnerability and honesty, that we would admit where we are not doing these things, where we're trying to control, we're trying to be and pull ahead. Help us to lay those down and to just have the courage to praise, the confidence in who you are. With every head kind of bowed, I'm just going to say, if there's somebody here who you've never met the person of Jesus, you've never taken his yoke on, if you raise your hand, I'll just pray for you real quick, and we can get you introduced to this life-changing yoke that is so much easier. If you're somebody who's got burdens that you don't know how to stop pulling ahead on, you don't know how to let it go and leave it, just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Lord, you see the hands and the hearts. You know how hard it can be to do this. I ask that you would just give peace, comfort, and just courage and vulnerability to us so that we can just let it be. We can learn to do life with you, and in doing so, praise you. Let praise be the foundation for our breakthroughs. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.